Good day. It is Monday, October the 6th, 2008. And as I speak this afternoon, the capital markets are once again in decline. The Canadian stock market is down about 7% today. The American market is down another 5% today. The last several months have been very unnerving in the capital markets as the credit crunch takes its toll on banks and the economy as a whole. These events indeed are very unnerving. Some headlines recently from Time magazine, from a cover: high anxiety, looming recession, government paralysis, and war give Americans a case of the jitters. Quote, I want to say we're in a recession, but that's not a strong enough word. In some regions, it's a depression. CEO of Wix Lumber. Another quote from a Time magazine article: at a time like this, consumers and investors seek signs that people in charge are doing the right thing, but they have got precious little reassurance from Washington, where the House last week rejected the long-negotiated $500 billion deficit-cutting package, triggering a government shutdown and the furloughs of thousands of federal employees. The quote, the government looks like it has lost control of the country, says Duane Andreas, chairman of the agricultural conglomerate Archer Daniels Midland. Another quote from the same Time article: the credit crunch and oil shock will cause new suffering in third world countries, which already bear an overload of political and economic woes. Another Time magazine cover: can America still compete? And another quote from Time magazine: as the real estate slump deepens, it is sending U.S. bank profits into the cellar. Last week, Manhattan-based Citicorp, the largest U.S. bank holding company, blamed $573 million in bad real estate loans for a 38% decline in third quarter earnings, which fell to $221 million. Chemical Bank reported a $43.7 million loss for the third quarter, and it slashed its quarterly dividend on common stock from 68 cents a share to 25 cents a share. To cushion themselves against the rise in sour loans as the U.S. economy slumps, many banks are increasing their capital reserves. For example, Citibank said last week it has more than quadrupled its reserve for losses on commercial loans from $59 million a year ago to $283 million now. Banks are also clamping down on new lending. But while these moves will strengthen the banks, tighter capital is beginning to squeeze even on healthy industries. Main Street America and Main Street in the rest of the world is suffering the implications of these things. But yet everything I've just read to you in the last few minutes is not from current newspaper headlines. It is not from current Time magazine publications. In fact, it is from Time magazine articles in October of 1990 and in January of 1991. Yes, the events unfolding as we speak appear to be dramatic, but they are certainly not unprecedented. In 1990-91, there was a credit crunch caused by the savings and loan crisis, which resulted in thousands of saving and loans banks in the United States collapsing or failing in bankruptcy. Many, many thousands of Americans lost their homes during that time. The economy went into a major economic recession. Real estate was the cause, or collapsing real estate prices were the cause of these events. And for almost a year and a half, the U.S. economy shrank, along with it, the Canadian economy and every major industrialized nation of the world. And in spite of that dramatic collapse in real estate and the following credit crunch which followed it, the economy did eventually recover. In 1998, there was an Asian crisis, once again caused by declining real estate values in Asia and bad real estate loans. And long-term capital management, a hedge fund, began to unravel in August of 1998, simultaneous to the Asian crisis, while Russian banks defaulted on their loans to Germany. In 2000, the tech bubble had been inflated to such an extreme that people began quitting their jobs and buying computers and trading the market, thinking that they could make more money that way than by working for a living. And shortly after January 1st, 2000, in a span of about 3 months, the tech bubble collapsed. And the NASDAQ market, which marked the growth of the tech bubble, declined at its trough level by almost 75%. The events unfolding today are dramatic, they are unnerving, but they are not, as I just described, unprecedented. In these previous crises, the stock market had declines ranging from minus 20% as a whole to minus 45%. Yet in every instance, there was a recovery. What's going on right now? Why is all of this going on? There's illiquidity in the capital markets. The amount of credit circulating in our system has been dramatically reduced because of the subprime mortgages that have been unraveling now for the last couple of years. It's resulted in banks not trusting each other to lend money overnight. And so the central bank is the lender of last resort. And so they've been stepping in to provide liquidity for our financial system. And this financial virus is spreading throughout the world, not just in the United States. It is affecting countries in Europe, in Asia, and to a degree in Canada. This is a crisis that, although appears unprecedented, as I mentioned earlier, has occurred in different formats and has appeared somewhat differently in previous decades. During this last 4 to 5 years, while the economy of the United States was recovering from the last declines that bottomed out in March of 2003, over the last 4 years, money has been leaving the American capital markets and moving to other places around the world. Canada has been a major benefactor of the expansion of demand in the emerging markets of China, India, Russia, and other places around the world. During this time, the price of oil began to skyrocket. From prices hovering in the $30 range as little as 3 years ago, the price per barrel of oil exploded and reached a maximum of $147 per barrel as recently as early July 2008. The Canadian dollar, from a low of 62 cents to the American dollar, catapulted to over $1.10 per one U.S. dollar, certainly historically an unprecedented level. And other resources and commodities also experienced dramatic increases in prices. All of this created inflation, and inflation is not a good thing when an economy is slowing down. During the decade of the 2000s, investing in the United States or elsewhere in the world has been a losing proposition. The only place to make money has been in the Canadian market during this decade. And up until about 3 months ago, had you invested on January 1st, 2000, in the Canadian market, you would have doubled your money over the last 8.5 years. But the events of the credit crisis unfolding and an acceptance of capital investors worldwide has recognized that demand is going to be coming down as the economy potentially falls into a recession in the United States and in the rest of the world. So now, what did well in the preceding 3 to 4 years in terms of Canadian stocks, in terms of resources, is beginning to unwind itself. Let's make a note. In the year 2007, there were 7 stocks that propelled the Toronto Stock Exchange to positive territory. The rest of the Toronto market was in negative territory. So had you not owned these 7 stocks, you would have had a negative return on your money in 2007 in Toronto or in the Canadian market. The 7 companies are Petrobank Energy and Resources, up 300% in 2007. Up until Friday of last week, and which does not include the declines of today, which are going to be in the area of 7% for the market as a whole and possibly more for these individual companies, it is down 42%. Potash Corp, up 100% in 2007, up until last Friday, is down 30%. Research in Motion, up 100% in 2007, up until this last Friday, is down 35%. Agrium, up 96% in 2007, down 38% so far in 2008. Thompson Creek Metals, up 76% in 2007, now down 50%. WestJet Airlines, up 50% in 2007, down 50% in 2008. And Taminco, which went from 30 cents to $18 in 2007, is down 34% up until Friday of last week. Clearly, chasing last year's winners was not a recipe for success in 2008. And in fact, history has shown us that chasing last year's winners or the last 3 years' winners in hoping that this will continue in the future is not a recipe for success. During the last 3 months, ending October the 3rd, 2008, the Toronto Stock Exchange is down 22%. Sprott and several other resource-based mutual funds are down anywhere from 50 to 70% over that same time frame. China and India funds, again over the last 3 months, are down anywhere from 30 to 40%. Yet there is a bright light amidst all this negative performance in the financial markets, and that is the all-in-one portfolio solution that Council Wealth Management has put in place. In spite of all the turmoil that we've experienced in the financial markets in the last 3 months, Council Managed Portfolio, which is the one that has the most exposure to Canada, is down only 14%. Council All Equity, a broadly diversified global portfolio of 100% stocks, is down just 11%. Council Growth, 80% stocks, 20% fixed income, is down just 10%. Council Balanced is only down 8%. Council Regular Pay Portfolio, an income-oriented investment portfolio, down only 8%. Council Income Managed Portfolio, down only 5%. All of these numbers I've just quoted are over the last 3 months. Council right now, as we speak, is rebalancing each of these portfolios internally as their components change in value relative to each other as the capital markets fluctuate. If your money is invested in any one of these portfolios, as you can hear from the results I've quoted, you are much safer than had you been invested in highly concentrated investments that focused on the hot resource market or the hot emerging markets. The TSX has not been a great place to be the last 3 months, in spite of the fact that it was a great place for the last 3 years or 4 years. And if you own index funds, if you're trying to save money by investing in index funds, you would have gone down with every gut-wrenching decline that the stock index has declined in the last 3 months. And in fact, from peak valuations, the TSX is down well over 30%. And if today ends as it was when I began this recording, you'll be down close to 30% the last 3 months in Canada. So index funds have not served to help people save or to help people maintain their wealth. They are extremely volatile, and people who try and take advantage of index funds to be penny wise are certainly pound foolish. Other all-in-one portfolio solutions are also working quite effectively. CI portfolios are similarly protecting people on the downside, as are Templeton Quotential portfolios. There are many good all-in-one portfolio solutions, and they should be looked at more carefully. For my clients who do not own the Council Portfolio Series, CI, or Templeton Quotential, the portfolios I've designed for you have weathered the storm better than the broad stock market indices have indicated. But it is always a good time to review your portfolio when you have an opportunity with your financial advisor, myself, at least on an annual basis. This decade has been has had poor results to date. However, in the last decade, in the 1990s, results were extraordinary. And in the United States specifically, the American market grew 564% over that 10-year period, compared to 140% for Canada and the rest of Europe. Yet, in spite of those tremendous returns, the 2000s have been the complete opposite. And so let that be a lesson that past performance is not indicative of future returns. Likewise, the recent declines are not an indicator of future declines. If you're looking at the results to date and you're worried that your investments have declined in value and that they may continue to decline in value and that you should get out before it goes to zero, rest assured, broad diversification will not allow that to happen. There is a phenomenon in mathematics and in other areas of nature called regression to the mean. What that means in plain English is that sometimes things perform above the average and sometimes things perform below the average. As an example, in sports, a hockey player may score 2 goals a game for 10 games, and some overly optimistic individuals might project that to 164 goals for an entire season. But realistically, we all know that that type of performance cannot be maintained, and there will be periods of slumps that will offset the periods of above-average performance. And at the end, the average is attained. Similarly, the stock market, as I described in 2000, was averaging between the end of the last recession, 1990-91, to the end of the 1990s, the American market averaged 22% compounded annually. Certainly that could not have been sustained. And the recent negative results over this decade brings the average for the American market from 1991 till today to 7.5% compounded annually, which in fact is a little below the average. And so what that tells us is in the future, going ahead, 5 years or 10 years, that the performance is likely to be slightly above the historical average. I cannot guarantee you that, but that's what regression to the mean effectively means to investing. We encourage people not to sell low and to buy high. A study done by Dalbar in the United States has indicated that over a 20-year stretch, the average American investor investing in equity mutual funds has attained rates of return between 3 and 4% compounded annually, compared to the broad market index of roughly 12% a year. Why is the average American, and for that matter, by extension, Canadian, achieving such minimal returns when the market over a 20-year period has been that good? Well, the reality is, because we're human beings, we're affected by psychological biases, and we have a tendency to become overconfident in thinking that we know better than everyone else. So we are tempted to buy when in fact we should be selling, and we are tempted to sell when in fact we should be buying. Or we are tempted to do something when in fact we should be doing nothing. And because of that, because of these psychological biases, because of fear and greed, we make the wrong decisions at the wrong time. And this is the value of dealing with a professional financial advisor like myself, is to place things into perspective and to place them within the context of the bigger picture. The average bear market decline in the United States, historically going back 100 years or so, is minus 23%. But the average bull market recovery is over plus 173%. Moving to GICs or safe investments now that are in 3% whose interest rates are likely to go even lower as the government cuts rates to stimulate the economy, it would take you 7 to 8 years to get back the declines that have been experienced in the market in the last several months or year to date. That's 7 to 8 years to wait to get back to break even. Whereas historically, based on market history, the typical recovery will only take 1 to 2 years. And then beyond that, you'll higher levels still. So bailing out at this point is not a smart move. Learn the lessons of the past and don't make changes like that when they should not be done. Turn off the headlines of the television and the radio and the newspapers and the internet and focus on your objectives. Focus on what you need to get done. Focus on saving your money. Focus on being more prudent with your income. The seeds of economic recovery, as we speak, are being sown today. Oil prices have collapsed from $147 per barrel to today at about $88 per barrel. That's a 40% decline. What does that mean? It means that the entire world has just experienced a 40% tax cut. All that money is going to result in lower costs for companies and other businesses who incorporate oil into their daily use. And everyone who drives a car is going to experience similar declines in gas prices that will allow them to move back and forth at a lower cost, as will transport trucks in saving money in transporting food. So food costs should start to come down. The lower Canadian dollar, we've gone from $1.10 as little as a year ago down to 90 cents as I speak right now. Just in the last week or so, we've gone from about 96, 97 cents down to 90 cents. This dramatic decline in the Canadian dollar on the magnitude of 8% is going to result in a more competitive Ontario and Quebec economy. We're going to start recovering in this province as the burden of the high Canadian dollar begins to be lifted. Capital infusions by central banks all around the world will bring stability at some point. There are trillions upon trillions of dollars in short-term cash sitting on the sidelines waiting to be invested. And as stability returns, as interest rates are cut to stimulate the economy, this money will start to flow into the capital markets and reinflate valuation levels. The global economic cooperation is unprecedented in 2008. Now, unlike other times in history, the global economies are more tied together than ever before, and they are cooperating fully to try and to collectively put an end to the credit crunch that is unfolding. Another positive of this financial crisis is that as resources become more limited and are diverted to stabilizing the economy, they're going to be moved away from military purposes. So concerns about political and military conflicts around the world are now diminishing. What action steps can you take now? First of all, there's one action step that you should not take, and that is do not sell. This is not a time to sell your investment at a market loss. This is a time to hold. The prices that are there today are not your prices. Your prices are the prices that you will need to sell at some point in the future. If you are still accumulating wealth for your ultimate retirement, your prices are still 10 to 20 years away potentially. And even if you're closer to retirement, 2 to 3 years, the prices you have today are still not your prices. The prices in 2 or 3 years are your prices. And even when you do retire, the whole portfolio is not being sold at today's prices, only a small portion to generate an income. If you are still accumulating toward retirement, now's a great time to make your RSP contribution. Don't wait till January or February. Do it now at the discounted levels, just like shopping at the supermarket when there's a sale on. Based on the emotional responses from some of my clients, now is a great buying opportunity. And if you're too unnerved to do it all at once, you can add your money gradually using a method called dollar cost averaging, where you systematically buy on the same day of every month with a fixed dollar amount. And if prices decline further, you're buying them cheaper and cheaper. And when they recover, you're going to be buying them a little bit higher. But on average, you're going to do better. So if you do have a monthly pre-authorized check investment going through, this is not the time to stop it. This is the time to increase it. If you're relying on income, if you are already retired, consider reducing your withdrawals, even if it's temporarily, 1 month or 2 months, until the recovery unfolds. You might want to consider moving to an income fund, such as Council Regular Pay or Council Income Manage, which has fixed distributions based on a unit price that fluctuates, but is likely assured of providing consistent income indefinitely. Remember, the most important thing is past performance is not necessarily indicative of future results. Don't assume the recent bad news will last forever. Like all crises in the past that I've described, there will be a recovery. And the disclaimer for regulatory purposes is, as I just mentioned, past performance is not indicative of future results. Please read the prospectus before making any investment choices. All the performance numbers I read to you this afternoon are rounded numbers. They're not exact and are as of the end of last week for some and as of today for others. Be optimistic, be hopeful, and rest assured, as long as there's 6.5 billion people on the planet who are buying goods and services, the economy will continue to function and eventually companies will recover. Prices are at historical lows. In some cases, companies are selling at 30 and 40-year low prices relative to their earning streams. Be optimistic, take advantage, and if you have questions, call me at the office, 905-568-2000, or toll-free at 1-888-568-1170, or send me an email, jsoutsos@ipccmississauga.com, and we can have a discussion. Thank you.